chapter 1. The book of Leviticus chapter 1. Now in the will of the Lord today, as well as next Lord's Day, God willing, we trust to take up from the first 5 chapters of the book of Leviticus those Levitical offerings that speak so faithfully and picture so beautifully the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his submission to the will of the Father, and the glorious fact that he has accomplished the work of our redemption. The 5 offerings, you may know them, and I would suggest very humbly, but very sincerely, that you would read those first 5 chapters of Leviticus. They are the Levitical offerings in number 5. First the burnt offering. And then in chapter 2 you will have the meal offering. In chapter 3 the peace offering. In chapter 4 the sin offering. And in chapter 5 the trespass offering. Chapter 6 and 7 will give you the law of those offerings. But those first 5 chapters, they portray to us the most beautiful pictures in the Old Testament, among many others in the Old Testament, of the blessed person and the work of the Son of God. May I humbly but sadly state, to my knowledge and my observation, I have found some of my own brethren critical of the Old Testament types, to my sadness. But God has given these Old Testament scriptures, even from the book of Genesis, and on through the prophecy of Malachi, with some of the greatest revelations concerning the person of his Son, and the work of his Son, and the glory of his Son. And I regret very greatly that there are some that are more dwelling upon what they call the practical teaching, neglecting the typical teaching that you find in the Old Testament. But may I give you a principle to follow very carefully. We all have eyes. We can use them physically. We can use them mentally. And we also should use them spiritually. Now, may I comment upon that statement? 'Tis very easy to read the Old Testament and read any of the scriptures necessarily in a physical way. 'Tis even better to read them perhaps in a mental way. But it is the greatest blessing to read the scriptures spiritually. And let me refer to what I mean. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where you may read where the beloved Apostle Paul reminds us that all the things that are known by the Spirit of God, he is able to reveal them to us. And may I quote chapter 2 and verse 14 particularly, relative to the natural man. Paul says, the natural man perceiveth not the things which be of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually, meaning of the Spirit, discerned. In other words, when we read the holy words of God, it is by the Holy Spirit alone we can have them revealed to us in their meaning. You may read them with your eyes. You may even read them with your mind. But the illumination of the Holy Spirit is the most necessary thing. Likewise, as we look at these 5 offerings, only by the Holy Spirit can we have revealed to us the wonders and the glories of the person of Christ and the greatness of his sacrifice and of his work. So may the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts and direct our hearts as we meditate upon these offerings today and next week. Let me read part of chapter 1, if I may. I'm not sure if I'll read all of it through. But if I may begin reading in chapter 1, in fact, I would rather begin in the last chapter of the book of Exodus. chapter, the last chapter preceding the book of Leviticus, may I read verse 34 alone and note the words. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, meaning the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Please note the emphasis. When the tabernacle was completed, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And it was from the presence of that tabernacle, with the glory of the Lord filling it, God began to speak in Leviticus chapter 1 to Moses. So take the messages we begin to read. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Leviticus. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Better translated in the original is, he shall offer it for his acceptance at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall slay the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is upon the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar, a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep, or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it, a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with its head and its fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all, and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out of the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. May God bless the reading and hearing of this precious word, and bring before our hearts the blessed person to whom it refers, the lovely, perfect Son of God, the beloved of the Father's heart. Now you may have noticed the very first offering that Jehovah speaks of to Moses is the burnt offering. He comes out of the tabernacle declaring with a voice of command that the approach to himself must be by an offering. And here we have the burnt offering. In the second chapter, we have the meal offering. In the third chapter, as we said, we have the peace offering. Please note the order, as I mentioned them. Then the sin offering. Then we have the trespass offering. I wish you to notice, first of all, the order in which God comes out from the tabernacle and His holy presence, presenting these offerings. The greatest and the best of the offerings is first, the burnt offering. The sin and the trespass offering is last. May I suggest to you, it is a picture of God coming out of His holy presence, until through the person of His dear Son and of His sacrificial work, He reaches a sinner, guilty in his and her sins, as you have in the trespass offering. But though God comes out in that order, may I emphasize, we who are sinners must approach God in the opposite order. We must begin by the value of the trespass offering, where our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins that we have committed to be forgiven. That is our commencement as we come into the presence of God to worship. Second, we should realize also, He not only died for our sins, but for sin. Keep them separate in your mind. Distinct between sin and sins. The nature. Thank God for that. That's a lesson to learn. He died for our sins, and He died for our sins. And then when you come to the peace offering, you find you can partake of the fellowship of Christ in fellowship with the Father, as did the priests and others. Then when you come to the meal offering, which we shall see God willing tonight, the infinite perfections of the life of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth, emphasizing His perfection to be the offering and satisfying the heart of God on the behalf of a sinner, will be magnified. And when you see Him in the perfection of His person, meeting all your needs, then you get the burnt offering aspect to enjoy what God delights in the person of His Son. In the person and work that He has done. We did it this morning in the worship meeting, as we sang again and again. Our delight to enjoy God's thoughts of His Son. And please may I say, the burnt offering reflects God's thoughts of His Son in a far greater way than you and I may have it. And that is what is before us. The greatest aspect of the death, as well as the life of the Lord Jesus, the burnt offering, you may have noted twice, three times, it was a sweet savor as unto the Lord. We do not have too much time to dwell upon the details of all this, but may I particularly point out, for brevity's sake, three distinctions in this burnt offering. First of all, as we have suggested, it was the ascending offering. Please note the words, if I may point them out to you, as we have it in the chapter before us. Verse 8, if you please, at the end of it. It is a burnt sacrifice. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And you've got it in verse 13. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. At the end of the chapter, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Only the first three offerings are called a sweet savor. You can well understand why the sin and the trespass offering would not be so called. But may I emphasize the meaning of the burnt offering. It was called in the Hebrew the ascending offering. Ascending as a sweet savor unto Jehovah. And you have in both, in these three chapters, 1, 2, and 3, the use of the word, it was burned, or it was to burn upon the altar. And you have the expression in the Hebrew word meaning to burn into fragrance. Now, when you get to the other parts of Leviticus, the word burn means burn to ashes. But in these first three offerings, and this particular burn offering, it was burnt into fragrance. A sweet savor unto Jehovah. May I emphasize, the chapter presents what God received from the death of his son. And may I also emphasize, before you and I could ever receive the blessing of the death of the Lord Jesus, God had to be satisfied first. Don't forget that. That's the meaning of the burnt offering. You may remember the words in Hebrews 10 as well as in Psalm 40. Picturing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the world. Saying to the Father, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. And may I emphasize, more important to the heart of the Lord Jesus than saving your soul and mine was doing your Father's will. I hope you get the meaning. That came first. Though it included your redemption and mine. The Father's delight and the Son's delight to do the will of the Father. And you have it in this burnt offering. First of all, the Son had to glorify God by his death before he could save you and me. Please take it in. You remember his prayer in John 17? When thus in that high priestly prayer, so called as we call it, thus speaking to the Father and saying, I have glorified thee upon the earth. That was the chief end of his coming to the earth. And as the old catechism says, it should be the chief end of man to glorify God. And in the burnt offering, the distinction of it is, it rose as a sweet savor, satisfying completely and perfectly the heart of God, as in the life of his dear Son incarnate, down to the death of the cross, he saw his blessed beauty and accepted the value of his sacrifice to himself. Oh, my beloved, may I say, if God could never be satisfied, you never would be. Neither would I. But thank God, as the old hymn may say, God is satisfied and I am satisfied when I know him as my Savior. And the first distinction that could be emphasized, it was a sweet savor, called in the Hebrew the Olah, O-L-A-H, an ascending offering. It went up. Now, may I give a contrast? The sin offering, as well as the trespass offering, was burned outside the camp. Outside the court. But the other offerings, on the altar. To be a sweet savor. And oh, may I emphasize, how better could I emphasize the first time? The Father above has been satisfied. And if he is satisfied with Jesus, I am satisfied as well. But there's another thought. There are many thoughts in the chapter, but the second thought I'd like to bring. That burnt offering is my acceptance before God. Go with me to verse, as you go to verse, back in the chapter in verse 3 and 4. Let me read them together as you find the words. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, be recognized the perfection of the animal must be confirmed, and he shall offer it, and again let me re-quote the Hebrew text, he shall offer it for his acceptance, and you've got it in the next verse, for his acceptance at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Oh, may I delight with you to realize, when God has accepted the offering, then can I. And thus you find here the distinction. Though it was all for God, it had a place for me. It provided the believing sinner with a perfect righteousness. And what a joy to recognize that. A perfect righteousness. Please may I note verse 4 with you carefully. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it, not his hand now, please note, his offering shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. The joy of knowing the offering ascended to the satisfaction of the Father above. But when I identify myself with the offering, the Father accepts me. Accepted in the Beloved, as you have in the words of Ephesians, rather, chapter 1 and verse 6. What a joy to recognize that. Please may I go with you to one text in the New Testament relative to this burnt offering. Ephesians chapter 5. The second verse of this Ephesian epistle in chapter 5, where Paul exhorts us, be ye therefore followers of God as beloved children. And please note, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Will you please note two distinctions? There was a part in his sacrifice for you and me, and there was a part for God. You note it very carefully. He gave himself for us. That burnt offering aspect of the death of Christ was for us genuinely, but also it was to God, and to God a sweet smelling savor. And thus we can recognize the clear distinction that when I am accepted by God, he accepts me through the value of his own begotten and his only begotten Son. But may I take you to a verse back in Leviticus chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 8, please. Where we have the law of the offering. I want you to notice something. How precious are the words. And how suggestive they are. Chapter 7, in the law of the offering. Let me begin reading verse 7 only. And read through verse 8. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth, please note this, the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have for himself or to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. Now, will you note the distinction? The offering was flayed and cut into pieces, we shall see in a moment or two. But when it was thus flayed, the skin of the offering was separated. And the skin of the offering was for a provision for the priest to cover himself. I wonder what he would think. The moment he recognized the skin was a covering for him. Undoubtedly, if he knew his Bible, I'm sure he would. He think of Genesis chapter 3. When in the Garden of Eden, sin came into this scene. And Adam and Eve stood before God in all their wretchedness, confessing their guilt. And the Lord God made a coat of skin to cover that? Oh, my beloved, please may I say gratefully that that skin is but a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the best robe of righteousness to cover you and me. And with what joy we can indeed recognize that the sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ lays his or her hand by faith on the person and the work of Christ upon that cross is covered with the best robe. You remember in the parable of the prodigal son, the father said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put it on him. Will you go with me to Romans chapter 3 for a moment, please? Let's verify that in its truth in Romans chapter 3. What a joy. Let me begin reading at verse 23. Or rather, let me go to verse 21 rather. Verse 21 and read verse through verse 22. But now the righteousness of God. Now the righteousness of God is revealed without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. Now get the distinction, not upon all yet, but unto all, but upon all them that have believed. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, my beloved, the robe of righteousness that Christ provided when he made that sacrifice to the Father in its complete. And let me quote 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we through him might be made or become what? The righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a robe. Oh, the joy of knowing it. One robe many centuries, some centuries ago. A robe I must have of one whole piece, broad as the law, spotless as the light, and richer than an angel could ever wear. And my beloved, may I say, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner, he covered me with a robe of righteousness. Acceptable to him. What a robe. Go back to our Levitical chapter 1, please, for a moment. Let's see something of that sacrifice before we go further. If I might read part of the chapter beginning at verse 8, if I may, please. Please note. The priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, and note, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Will you please note the parts? The whole animal represents in type the person of the Lord Jesus. Did God delight in that blessed one as he walked here upon the earth? And all the use of that blessed mind of the Savior devoted to do the will of God. His blessed head. Sometimes we sing, O head, once filled with bruises, O press, with pain and scorn and so on. That blessed head. When he was here, he could say, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. The Father valued that head. Yielded to do the will of the Father. The Father not only valued that head, he valued the fat in the sacrifice. And this was the fat inside the body of the victim. Remember in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all the fat of every sacrifice, all the fat is the Lord's. when every sacrifice was made, the fat was to be offered to the Lord. Why? It spoke of the inward virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ to the heart of the Son of the Father above. What he was inwardly, in all the inward perfections of his character, holy, without spot and without blemish. My beloved, you know as well as I do, at least we should know, more important is our inner life and our outer life. The inward, what we are inwardly toward God. And God can look at that dear son of his and see no sin. And enjoy. And may I say, I was very much surprised many years ago when a friend of mine, a brother back in the Middle West, told me, who was a chemical engineer, that when the fat of a lamb is burned, it has a fragrance. What fragrance from the inward life of the Lord Jesus? The inner life. Let me please remind you as well as myself, did not the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his inner being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Please may I emphasize, the Father enjoyed the inward heart of his Son when he was upon the earth. In happy fellowship. Complete and perfect. I wish he could do that with me. Someday he will, thank God. In glory. God delighted in it. But then go further. If you don't mind going further, as you go down to verse 9. His inward and his legs shall he wash him. The legs of the Lord Jesus. The legs of a man are unequal, wrote the proverb writer. Not the legs of the Lord Jesus. When he walked. Oh, my beloved, if he walked on the earth. You remember John the Baptist said on one occasion, you remember John 1, behold, as he saw Jesus as he walked, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he saw Jesus as he walked. The Father was seeing the Lord Jesus all the time. Wherever he went, whatever he did, those blessed legs of the Lord Jesus were doing the Father's will. From the manger to the cross. The first recorded words of the Lord Jesus are most unusual. First recorded in the Bible when he was a boy in chapter 2 and verse 49 of Luke. When his supposed father Joseph and Mary were seeking him. And when they found him, Mary, she spoke to him in review. Son, why art thou so dumb with us? Did he not answer? How is it that ye wist not? I must be about my Father's business. And at the age of 12, he knew he was here for the Father's business. And he was using his legs. You know the last words that he spoke on the cross? It is finished. All the way through his life. I wish I could do the Father's business like that. The joy of knowing the Father delighted in him. And the ears were washed that they might be clean when they were sacrificed and be a burnt offering thus to the Lord. And with what joy the Father had to realize the value of his dear Son. And through that beloved Son, you and I have a robe of righteousness. Beloved fellow believer, may I say, enjoy what the Father's done through the work of his Son to give you a robe wider than any angel, wider than the light, like his Son. But not only that, the greatest thing is this. Not only is it ascended as a sweet savor to God, and in its distinction, it provides a robe of righteousness for a believing sinner. It speaks of that sinner being accepted. Acceptance. What joy to realize the acceptance that we have as you have the word. Please let me go back to verse 4 again. He shall put his hand perfect acceptance before God. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. It shall be accepted before God to make atonement for him. May I point out, if you read the book of Leviticus, you'll find the word acceptance 7 times, I believe. And what joy to realize the references to that. Accepted in the Beloved. And the joy of knowing the meaning of it. And to know that the Beloved is thus the one through whom we are accepted. But now let's look very carefully. Is there anyone here that's not saved? How can a sinner be accepted before God? Look at verse 4 again, the opening words. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. My beloved friend, if you are not saved, stretch out that hand of faith. Lay it upon the head of the Lord Jesus, your sacrifice. For thank God, that dear head of thine, as we sometimes sing, I lay my hand on that dear head of thine and there confess my sin. And by faith you can lay your hand on that blessed head of the Son of God, confessing your sins and finding acceptance before him. Let me go to Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 in closing. Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7, if you please. And I'm sure the words are well known to all the believers, but here we have the precious words we like to read at the end of verse 6, where Paul says, accepted in the Beloved, the one who is the beloved Son of God, the one who became the burnt offering, accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, the place of redemption for the sinner is the person of Christ. The power of it is his blood. The proof of it, he gives the forgiveness of sin. And the plenitude of it is according to the riches of his grace. Willingly, gladly, without merit, to bestow upon the believing sinner when he or she puts his hand by faith on the head of the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Forgiven, accepted in the Beloved. May I suggest, have you ever been accepted, my friend? If not, why not lay your hand by faith? If God was willing to accept the sacrifice of his Son to save your soul, surely you should do that. Let me close with a word of suggestion to the believers. You may have noticed in the offering of the burnt offering, there were three types. There was the bullock, there was the sheep, there was the goat, and then there were the fowls. Now please may I say, not only for the believers, but for a sinner. Of course, they're different in value. A bullock was of much more value than a sheep, and a sheep of much more value than a goat, and a goat much more value than a fowl. But may I point out to you, please, God accepted each one of them. Whether it was a bullock, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a goat, whether it was a fowl or a pigeon. Don't minimize the value to God. But the difference of those animals, I would suggest, typify the value of the sinner for the sacrifice. My dear fellow believer, how much is your valuation of Christ? Can it be measured by a bullock? Is it that big? Can it be measured by a sheep? Is it that large? Or is it a goat? Or is it only a fowl, pigeon? Oh, my beloved, for what you have in those animals and the birds, you have the indication of what the offerer could only bring when he comes to worship. Thank God he receives the poorest who may bring a little. But my beloved fellow believer, I wish you and I could bring a bullock to him when we worship. And you that know not the Lord Jesus, lay your hand upon him today. Jehovah's accepted him. And praise God, he'll accept. For did not the Lord Jesus say first, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And if he receives you, the Father will. And do it today. Shall we pray? Our blessed Father, tongue is inadequate, words are impossible to describe the glory, the greatness, the beauty, the perfections, and the great work of thy Son. We must confess, the Father knoweth the Son, and him alone. But we thank thee, Father, you've given us some pictures of him, and one today, which we pray will be by the Spirit of God, spiritually, riveted home to our hearts to make the Lord Jesus more precious, and to bring some sinner to the Savior, and trust him now. For we ask it, giving thee our thanks for the Lord Jesus in his own precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you.